holiday season is upon us, and with it come a wide variety of celebrations of various faiths and traditions. While we tend to focus primarily on our own holidays, it's important to understand and respect the traditions of others. On this week's Eastern Standard, enjoying the most wonderful time of the year while including customs and traditions unlike our own. What are you celebrating this holiday season? Do you feel your traditions are welcomed and respected? What does the holiday season mean to you? Write to us with your questions, comments, or personal stories at WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. Post your comment to the WEKU Facebook page or send a tweet at WEKU EST. It's time for Eastern Standard, right after the latest news from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Hello, I'm John Hingsberg, and the holiday season is evident and upon us. And here at Eastern Standard, we wanted to take the time this week to discuss interfaith understanding and cooperation in a multicultural society. And during this hour, we are welcoming three guests to the studio, and we hope to welcome you to the program with your questions, your comments, and your personal stories on this topic. First up, we begin with Anthony Everett, Reverend Anthony Everett, pastor of Wesley United Methodist Church in Lexington and a state human rights commissioner. Reverend Anthony Everett, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me, John.
Also with us, Dr. Nadia Rashid, a member of the Masjid Bilal, one of two mosques in Lexington, Kentucky, and among 2,000 persons of the Muslim faith in the Lexington region. And Nadia, also a local anesthesiologist. Nadia, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
Your second visit to Eastern Standard.
Yes.
Thank you. And Rabbi Moshe Smolkin is Rabbi of the Ahave Zion Synagogue in Lexington. Did I say that all correctly?
You did. That was wonderful. Thank you.
Excellent. Rabbi, thank you so much for being with us. And we want to encourage our listeners to be part of the conversation. We're talking about the winter holidays, and we're talking in kind of a generic sense. We certainly are going to talk about Christmas. We're going to talk about Hanukkah. We're going to talk about various holidays that are being observed at this season of the year. And we're interested in hearing from you. What are your questions for our guest, your comments, your personal stories about celebrating the holidays in an interfaith or a multicultural fashion, and you are welcome to call us. Don't call the number we normally give because we're fundraising at WEKU this week. So if you want to be part of Eastern Standard, please call 859-622-1664. That's 859-622-1664. Send us an email to the regular address, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. You can post on Facebook or the WEKU website. Send a tweet at WEKU EST. Let me begin the conversation by asking each of our guests to tell a little bit of your personal stories about your journey of faith. And let's start, ladies first, with Dr. Nadia Rashid, a Muslim all of your life?
Yes, I was born and raised in New York City. I was born a Muslim. I'm a practicing Muslim. I lived a little while in Iraq and went to medical school there. I've been in Lexington now 26 years. I love Lexington. I love Kentucky. I love the United States. I love my religion. I love the prophet. I love God. And we are proud Americans, and we are part of the society, and it all comes together.
Talk about the winter holidays. What do the winter holidays mean to you? Muslims do not have a winter holiday or religious observance, correct?
This year we don't. We're on the lunar system, so our holidays this year are not during December. But it's a very good month, a good season. The Christians have Christmas, the Jews have Hanukkah, and it's a season of peace and love and getting together and doing charity work and cooperation and interfaith. And so it's a very good month for them and for us.
Do you and your family observe Christmas or the holidays in some fashion as a secular or a generic cultural holiday?
Now, if we're invited somewhere for a Christmas party or a Hanukkah Hanukkah party or a sermon or a service, we love to participate
you don't
and
turn
go.
Them down.
No. We do love the cake. Yes.
All right. Excellent. And Rabbi Moshe Smolkin, I know that Hanukkah is not a major observance of Judaism. This year, though, it's coinciding very closely to Christmas, beginning, I guess, on Christmas Eve for Christians on December 24th. Talk about the winter holiday. Well, I want to hear about your personal religious story, and then we'll talk about the winter holidays for you. Are you a lifelong Jew?
Yes, both my folks are Jewish, and I wasn't as connected as a youth, but had a lot of exploration and kind of looked at a number of different things and ultimately really found, among other things, the commonality between different faiths. It was a wonderful exploration, kind of that hidden truth that Houston Smith talks about. And also in that exploration, I kind of re-encountered my faith tradition, my people's tradition, and really fell in love.
Are you a native of Kentucky? Where are you from?
So this is my eighth year here, and really from Texas, New Mexico, lived in Boston a decade, Los Angeles, Jerusalem, all over.
Wow, excellent. Well, let's talk about the winter holidays again. Hanukkah gets lumped together, and some people consider it a Jewish Christmas, and we all know better than that if we know anything at all about Judaism. But what is the meaning of Hanukkah, and what is the meaning of the winter holidays for Jews?
So in so many ways, Hanukkah has to do with bringing light into the darkness and really coming together to increase the light in our world. There's so much work that we can be doing together to do that. And that's one of the most important aspects of the holiday. And that's what our sages long ago really emphasized was the light and the oil and bringing more light into our world.
Let's turn to Reverend Anthony Everett, pastor of Wesley United Methodist Church. And I know you have a fascinating story of your religious journey. You didn't start out as a United Methodist.
No, excuse me. No, not at all. I started out as a Roman Catholic. I was born in Washington, D.C., and was baptized at St. Luke's Roman Catholic Church in Washington, D.C. Grew up Catholic, went to Catholic school for a number of years, eventually went on to public school, though, and went about the age of 10 years old, got introduced to martial arts, which introduced me to Zen Buddhism. And so from there, the martial arts instructor was a member of the Morris Science Temple of America. He had a lot of influence on my life as well. But then when I went off to college, and as Moshe was just talking about, you explore when you're in college. A lot of young people explore. So I explored a number of things, Islam, the Hare Krishnas, traditional African religions, all of that. At one point, I felt that I love God, but I didn't feel that any one religion was specific for me. But eventually, I went to this church for a wedding, St. Luke Community United Methodist Church. This was in Dallas, Texas. I was living in Dallas at the time, working in the corporate world. And I went there, and I stepped inside this sanctuary, saw all of these depictions of saints in stained glass windows. And what I related to is that the saints all looked, they were African descent. They looked like me, and I could relate to that. And then I saw pictures of Cesar Chavez and Martin Luther King, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, all of these different social justice and human rights figures. And I saw in the corner El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, and who had been a hero of mine. But I said, if they can accept Malcolm, perhaps they can accept me. And so that's where my interfaith journey really came strong, you know, to be able to recognize that all of us believe in God. You know, we just have differences in how we live out that.
How does your relatively diverse interfaith background affect your preaching as a Methodist minister on Sundays?
Well, as a Methodist minister, our doctrine is a lot of it comes from John Wesley and his teachings. And so I don't stray away from that. I see John Wesley as being one that was also open to others. You know, John Wesley was all about Methodism and about Christianity. But the fact of the matter is, that when I preach on Sunday, my focus is on the world. And so in my pulpit, I'm not going to disrespect my Jewish and my Muslim brothers. I'm not going to disrespect anyone of any other faith or religion. My focus is on that, you know, we all believe in God, you know. And I remember one thing that Malcolm X had said once, and that was, if you're a Jew, be the best Jew you can be. If you're a Christian, be the best Christian you can be. If you're a Muslim, be the best Muslim that you can be.
As a Christian, how do you look at the winter holidays? Of course, Christmas is the one holiday that kind of defines the season for everyone in our American culture in the U.S. In Kentucky specifically, Christmas is pretty much prominent and dominant. Do you, because of your background, have a different approach to the way you observe Christmas?
Yeah, I try to get away from the commercialism of Christmas. You know, I think that is really what takes over in Christmas, especially here in the United States. There's a major commercial focus on Christmas. You're selling Christmas toys and gifts and what have you beginning in right after Thanksgiving. And, you know, to get away from that and to see what is it that we can do or how can we unite together in a number of different ways during this time of year. And just to point out one thing, Christmas is December 25th, but in our Christian tradition as well, our calendar is somewhat similar in that, you know, there's lunar parts of the calendar. The dates are not always the same for different things. So every year, for instance, Easter is a different Sunday.
Let's talk, and we're going to need to take a station break in just a few minutes, but how can we, as Christians, as members of the Islamic faith, as Jews, how can we come together during the holiday season? I know, who was it? Was it Martin Luther King who said that the most segregated hour or a day of the week was Sunday morning?
11 o'clock is Sunday morning, yeah.
How can religions come together around the holiday season in a way that is good for all of us?
Go ahead, Nadia.
I think the best way to get together is to do charity work. There is the food bank. There are the free clinics. There is making lunches. There is visiting the sick. And we, as the three faiths, and we Muslims have a lot in common with our Christian and Jewish brothers and sisters, we together can go and visit the sick, ask about the hungry, take care of the widows, take care of the orphans. And this charity work is what brings us together. And this is what is so important and brings us back to the one God.
Well, thank you so much, Nadia. I couldn't say it better. The Jewish Federation of the Bluegrass, which is kind of an organization that helps to bring the Jewish community together, both in and looking out, they call it the season of tzedakah. So tzedakah is, for lack of a better word, a way of giving to other people. and during this time, we do so many activities around the city. The Jewish community really tries to reach out to others during this time. And even folks that are observing, let's say, Christmas, will do things actually to support them and those communities. For folks that want to celebrate maybe Christmas or want a meal on that day, we try and make sure they have food and what they need.
Celebrating and observing the winter holidays in a multicultural or an interfaith fashion. That's the topic of this week's Eastern Standard. We're interested in your stories, your questions, your comments on this topic. We're going to take a short break, a little longer than usual because of the fun drive, but we're going to be back in just about 2 minutes with your questions, your comments, your stories at 859-622-1664. That's 859-622-1664. Send a tweet at WEKU-EST. Send an email, WEKU-EasternStandard@gmail.com.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
They call it the most wonderful time of the year, yet some people or in some situations, we go our own directions during the holiday season. Christmas underway, Jews observe Hanukkah. There are other faith traditions out there observing various holidays, and we're interested in hearing from you. If you have a holiday that you're observing during the winter season, please let us know about it. We're interested in your stories, your comments, your questions for our guests during this week's Eastern Standard. And with us in the studio is Reverend Anthony Everett, pastor of Wesley United Methodist Church. We have Dr. Nadia Rashid, a member of Masjid Bilal, not a member of the clergy, but very active in the Muslim community in the Lexington area, and Rabbi Moshe Smolkin of the Ohave Zion Synagogue in Lexington. We're talking about observing the holidays, the winter holidays, in an interfaith fashion. Let's come back to Reverend Anthony Everett, a United Methodist, former Roman Catholic, dabbled in various other religious movements or spiritual movements. How can we do a better job of working together or observing together? Is there a way we can come together and even pray during the holiday season?
Sure. Let me make one comment right before that, and that is that the song that you enter in with is one of my favorites for Christmas, but my very favorite is Donny Hathaway's This Christmas. You know, it's a wonderful song. And so anyway, I just wanted to share that.
We're not taking requests. Sorry. I don't think Brian has it.
Okay. That's okay. I think that as both Moshe and Nadia mentioned, working in the community together, doing acts, I say, of kindness, of mercy for others, I think that's very important during this season. There's so many that are in need, you know, and all throughout the year. And it's important for us, especially at this time, because usually this is the time when you see everything is lighting up for Christmas. There's so many people that are hurting as well during this time of year. So it's a time that we come together in that sense.
As a Christian, you mentioned briefly over-commercialization, and you know we just came through Thanksgiving, which is a beautiful holiday. I've heard remarks about the fact that it's one holiday we observe that doesn't have a religious root as such. It's not tied to any one faith or any one demographic group. But then the day after that is a day that is in great contrast, the so-called or so now known as Black Friday and the beginning of the rush of the holiday season. Does that mean anything to you as a Christian in terms of what it kind of projects about the meaning of Christmas?
Yeah, I think Black Friday, the whole idea of commercialization of Christmas and purchasing all kinds of things, and it's I think is against what Christmas really is all about. You know, it's just the opposite of what Christmas is all about. I think that we talk about the Christ child coming into the world. I think of what Moshe just said about the light, you know, bringing the light into the world. And so that's what Christmas is for Christians, you know, to be able to bring the light of God into the world. And I don't see it in purchasing new items. And especially when I look at and I'm not going to say any names, but I look at one of the stores that's selling guns, and I'm a big proponent against gun violence and for fair gun laws. And so I think it goes right against that, you know, that whole ideal of giving mercy and love to each other. So
let me turn to Rabbi Moshe Smolkin again. Jews observe Hanukkah every year. I understand that there are gifts involved. Can you talk a little bit about the customs? And most of our listeners are quite familiar with Christmas, but talk about how Hanukkah is observed in Judaism.
Great. So first of all, Hanukkah was a tradition that came out of religious persecution. And Jews were not allowed to observe our religion, and we were the authorities at that time. This is a long, long time ago, around 167 before the Common Era, BCE, and the authorities at that time had their thumb on us, and we couldn't quite feel free being Jews and being comfortable even in our land. and of course, this at this point in our time, I. one of the important parts of celebrating Hanukkah is really thinking about others and making sure that everyone can feel free, especially in our beautiful, wonderful country, free observing their religious traditions, freedom of religion, freedom to be who they are. And that is so very important to the message of the holiday, so that no one should feel afraid because of their particular religious tradition. And in terms of this idea of the commercialization that we've been talking about, there are things like gifts. You know, I think because Christmas is so important to so many folks in this country, and because Christmas has been so commercialized, so Hanukkah has as well. And you mentioned at the beginning of the show that Hanukkah, in terms of Judaism, isn't seen as one of the most important holidays. But here in the United States, I think because of that commercialism, it becomes much bigger. And I love your point about the idea of refocusing on those central messages of bringing light, in this case, and of looking out for freedom, and that everyone should be accepted.
Are there common religious services related to Hanukkah? Services in the synagogue or temple, or is Hanukkah observed primarily at home with the family?
Right. So Hanukkah is primarily observed in the home, though we will light a Hanukkah menorah at the synagogue, but often it's in the home, and this is something that's quite lovely, where people will invite friends, right? And that's something, again, that Nadia had mentioned earlier, where each of us can have our religious traditions, but we can bring others in and welcome others. And it's kind of like if someone has a big party, or in our faith, if they have, a bat mitzvah, a bar mitzvah celebration. One of the wonderful ways of celebrating that is by bringing in others and reaching out to others, right? So I loved Rabbi Werchafter at Temple Adith Israel. One of the ways his daughter celebrated her bat mitzvah recently is really by making sure to give to people in need, and a huge program where we gave a lot of food to folks in need.
Let me turn again to Nadia Rashid. As a Muslim, again, you do not have as such winter holidays observed in the faith of Islam. But talk a little bit, though, about the holidays that Islam does observe. There are a couple of holidays during the course of the year, right? And sometimes Ramadan gets real close to Christmas?
Yes, we're on the lunar system, so sometimes Ramadan does fall in December. This coming year, it'll be in June. And that's the holy month where God revealed the Holy Quran to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And we fast that month of Ramadan from sunrise to sunset, and it brings us closer to God. We read the Quran, we do more charity, we think of the hungry and the sick and the poor, because we are also depriving ourselves of food and water, which usually we have abundance. We are very blessed. That's one of the holidays. And the other holiday is when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, and then God sent a lamb instead, and that's another holiday, and it's Hajj, and that's the second holiday that we celebrate. And also, it's not in December this year, but a few years it was. But for us, I think it's very important to remember the gift giving, and I think the most important gift we can give somebody else in a holiday is our time. Time is so precious, and it goes away. And if we can just spend time with somebody and forget about Black Friday, because already our closets are full. Mm-hmm. So I don't even do Black Friday. But I think spending time, breakfast together, lunch together, a movie together is so precious. And that's what stays. And that's where we go back to our roots, all of us.
We're grateful for the time these guests are spending with us on this week's Eastern Standard, and we would encourage you, our listeners, to be part of the conversation. Comments you'd like to make, stories you'd like to tell about learning about other faiths and other traditions and the holiday season specifically, you can give us a call right now at 859-622-1664. That's 859-622-1664. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. That's at WEKUEST. You can send an email, WEKUEasternstandard@gmail.com. Post on the Facebook page or the WEKU website. You can especially do that during the repeat of the show on Sunday evening when we're unable to respond to you live. I do have an email that came into the program before the program before the show here on Thursday morning, and this is from listener Jacob. He writes, "It's interesting that we always hear calls to learn about non-Christian religions during Christmas time. As a Jew, I wish there was more attention to other faiths when those faiths were observing their important holidays. Hanukkah, I wish I could learn to say Hanukkah.
That was very good.
A little more throat to the name Hanukkah. Typically happens around Christmas, but contrary to popular belief, it isn't the Jewish Christmas. On the contrary, it's a minor holiday. Our most important holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, are in the early fall. Similarly, Ramadan happens in the summer. Why does it seem there is never a call for interfaith understanding during the events that are actually significant to those faiths?" The fact is, yes, well, a lot of times our culture is silent about Ramadan, unless public radio does a story about it, or somehow there's a story of an international news that focuses on one of the holidays or the observance of Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. Your comments, your reactions to that?
If I could jump in as a state human rights commissioner, one of the things that's important to the Human Rights Commission is that all faiths are equally balanced within Kentucky, in our society. And when we look at that, we realize that the largest number of people are Christians here. There are fewer numbers of Jews and fewer numbers of Muslims and other religions beyond that. But we have to have equality across the board for respect for all religions in that sense. And I think that one of the things, I mean, because these other holidays are not commercialized like Christmas, which is a great thing, I think, it's on the other side of that, it doesn't get the popularity that a Christmas gets. And I don't know that you want that popularity. I don't know that you want to be considered, oh, well, it's now time to get gifts out for, you know, for Ramadan or for Yom Kippur or whatever, you know.
I guess you know you've made it if Hallmark comes out
right.
with a series of
exactly.
cards.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful when we have friends who are from other religions and then we really connect and know. Having Christian friends and Jewish friends and Muslim friends, and part of our getting together and talking and over lunch, we do discuss our different holidays. And that's the beauty. And actually, when I grew up in New York, we were the Jew and the Christian and the Muslim. And we did know. We knew each other's holiday, and we celebrated each other's holiday. And so for somebody, it's good to know somebody from another faith, okay, and another person, and that's the way we learn about the average American might not know, the average American who's not a Muslim or not a Jew might not know a Muslim or a Jew. And this is a good time and a good time of the year to reach out to our brothers and sisters, to reach out to our neighbors. I mean, we probably have really good Jewish neighbors and good Muslim neighbors and good Christian neighbors, and it's good to go and have coffee or tea or cake with your neighbor, and in that way, you will really understand the holidays.
And get to know the neighbor as a human being rather
yes.
than as so that person happens to be a Jew or happens to be of a different faith.
Well, I think that, first of all, I'm so grateful for you having us on the show today. So many of our neighbors are celebrating Christmas, but it is wonderful to reach out to other faiths and to see what are they doing. And I think it would be lovely to kind of increase that and see, you know, let's say in Hinduism, what are their major holidays? And maybe when it's a major holiday for them, you know, have them come on. And I know that NPR, of course, WEKU has run programs. I know that during the high holidays, occasionally there are things that have gone on. But I think all of these efforts to reach out and share with one another really help us, in particular as Americans, to know one another and to embrace the diversity in the country and to help us become wonderful neighbors and friends.
I mean, as Americans, this year has been a very difficult year in many ways, very divisive. The presidential election caused people to believe that their candidate was the only one and that the other one was evil. I mean, this is the kind of division and I think some of that survives, of course, as we even approach the inauguration of a president. How do we bring people together after, you know, a year or maybe even longer through this whole process of choosing a leader for our country? Is it possible to bring people together in that kind of an environment?
I think one of the things that we do is remember that all of us are human. There's a one common humanity that we have. It doesn't matter what religion, what belief that you have, but we are all human beings, and as human beings, that we all must respect and love one another. And seeing this past presidential election, you know, it touched on a lot of themes that were hurtful, you know. And so when I've got friends that are Muslims, and I got friends that are Jewish as well, and I see the types of things that are coming out during this campaign, and as well, being African-American, we have a common fear, you know, because we all recognize persecution. And we know what persecution can be like. But we recognize, too, that the core of every human being is God's image within us. And that image is one of beauty, it's one of moral character, and it's one that says that we're to love one another regardless of what it might be.
And I think we as Americans are really strong. And the election is over. We reach out to President-elect Donald Trump to unite us together for the betterment of this country, because we are living here, we work here, we are good citizens, we're proud Americans, and we love each other. And what happened in the past is gone. We look to the future. We looked for the president-elect to bring us together, to work together, to make this country the best. And it's all of us together. We are the fabric. We are the diversity of this country. And we're proud to be Americans. And we are good citizens.
We're going to hold on to that question and get a response from Rabbi Moshe Smolkin after we take a short break. Once again, on this week's Eastern Standard, we encourage you to be part of our conversation. Have you ever observed the religious holiday of someone whose background is different than yours? Or how do you interact with others of different faiths and cultural backgrounds during the holiday season? We're interested in your stories, your questions, your comments at 859-622-1664. That's 859-622-1664. Send an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest.
Chanukah, Chanukah, Yontef Hashener, Alustiger, Freilicher, Niton, Ochazener, Alle Nacht in Breidel spielen mir, Zudikese, Latkes, Essen mir.
It's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. I'm John Hingsbergen, with our guests in the studio talking about a multicultural or interfaith approach to the winter holidays. Reverend Anthony Everett of Wesley United Methodist Church in Lexington, Rabbi Moshe Smolkin of Ojave Zion Synagogue, and Dr. Nadia Rashid, a member of Masjid Bilal, one of the two mosques in Lexington, Kentucky. Your questions, your comments, your stories about observing the winter holidays together, crossing faith lines, and how have you done so, or would you like to do so? What questions do you have for our guests? 859-622-1664, the email address again, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. I want to pick up with Rabbi Smolkin the question that I had posed earlier after this very divisive presidential election. How do we move forward from there?
Thank you so much. one of the most important concepts in the Torah, besides loving God, is loving people. It says, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, love your fellow as yourself. And I think that call to love one another assumes that we're going to do the work to know one another. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to know folks who I'm hanging out with all the time and who share my opinion. I think what Judaism and other faith traditions often call upon us to do is to reach out to love the other. We have to know about them. So we have to ask maybe someone who really disagrees with us politically, the questions of tell me your perspective. I want to know where you're coming from. Sometimes we assume things about the other, or for political reasons, the other is painted in a certain light so that you can win or something like that. But assumptions can be made that aren't always the case. And by asking individual people, what do you actually think, it can really help us to kind of ground ourselves to see that maybe they're coming from a different place than we thought. I had a wonderful conversation with someone yesterday who voted differently than I did. And I just loved hearing where they were coming from. And it really helped, I think, bring us together.
Let's go to the telephone. We have a caller on the line at 859-622-1664. And you are invited and welcome to get on board with a question, a comment, a personal story. Again, that's 859-622-1664. And let's talk to Bill in Lexington. Bill, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Good morning, John. And good morning, Anthony, Moshe, and Nadia.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good program, and it's a vital discussion, you know, on how to bring people together. And, you know, we have the elephant, I think, in the room, which is our economic system, which Pope Francis has called predatory. And it divides us. I think these are the very people that Jesus banished from the temple back in days of old. And, you know, the divisions, I think, between people have been, particularly between the West and the Middle East, those divisions have been fostered by capitalism and its ruthless pursuit of oil in the Middle East. I think that, you know, and these are uncomfortable topics to talk about because they're so politically, you know, charged. But, you know, all of so-called Muslim extremism or Islamic extremism, and, you know, the current president-elect's indictment, and, you know, that I'll bomb the H out of them, et cetera. We've been doing that for a long time. And I think we need to look at ourselves, as Pope Francis has said, and we can't continue this predatory business, and we need to throw these money changers out of the temple once again in 2017.
What would a religious celebration, and I think you're thinking specifically of Christmas there, Bill, what would Christmas look like if we were to follow that advice that you're passing along from Pope Francis?
Well, it would be much less driven as it has been. I think our idea of caring for one another has been corrupted in terms of exchanging gifts and so on and so forth. The real reason for procuring those gifts is the enrichment of, you know, merchants. And the merchants aren't people who make these gifts by hand, but, you know, many are paid, you know, just pennies on the hour. We consume these, and, you know, the Satan is subtle. I don't think we see it. I think it's the elephant in the room that we're not seeing. We need to come together to have a discussion about how can we change this. You know, so Christmas would look like, you know, if you really loved someone, you would make something for them. You could possibly donate something to, say, Doctors Without Borders or something of that nature, or the National Natural Resources Defense Council or whatever, to, you know, on their behalf, and, you know, get away from this focus on consumerism.
All right, Bill, thank you for raising that question, and we'll ask our guests to react to what Bill had to say as we invite others to get on the line with your questions, your comments, your stories as we talk about the winter holidays on this week's Eastern Standard, 859-622-1664. Reactions?
Oh. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, and you said it so beautifully. And really, the best thing to bring the East and West together it is really what we need to work on is education and jobs and schools and getting people working and people studying. And this is the best thing for all societies, if it's West or East. And everything you said, I agree with you.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. I think that one of the things, I was an intern when I was in seminary at Interfaith Workers Justice, and it's an interfaith organization focused on workers' justice. But one of the things that they taught us is that all faiths believe in justice. And so when I look at the scripture, I go to the scripture and I look at what the Christians say, Old Testament, is actually the Hebrew Bible, that says from Micah 6:8 that what does God want for us to do as human beings? That is to give mercy, show mercy to one another, to also to show justice and advocate for justice for everyone, but also to walk humbly with God.
Thank you for the question and your thoughts about it. Really appreciate that. One of the things that you had mentioned and kind of the ideal that you had in mind really resonated with in terms of giving during holidays. There are Jewish traditions, actually, that before different holidays, we actually give to others, right? So let's say before Passover is coming, there's often donations to, let's say, God's Pantry, and we'll make other kinds of donations during that time, thinking about food since we're going to be having a meal, and then to give to others during that time. So I think that would be for folks, if you're having a big holiday, think about giving during that time. But at the same time, I do think that in terms of our country, let's say someone working at an auto factory who they want to be able to celebrate Christmas with their family, they'd love to be able to give their kids just a little something, and they count on those jobs, right? So they're counting on someone else buying that car, right? So at the same time, I want to be careful just to have that balance there that maybe kind of blasting that this is the only true way to celebrate the holiday is by purchasing all this stuff. That message I'd love to dim down, but at the same time, really appreciating that all of these different folks in our society that are counting on that commerce so that they can celebrate with their families, put food on their plates, that's important too. And so kind of wanting, again, dimming down of the commercialism, but making and maybe bringing up the level of giving at that time, having more balance.
We have a few minutes remaining in this week's Eastern Standard. We're live on Thursday, and you're welcome to be part of the conversation at 859-622-1664. That's 859-622-1664. Our guest in the studio, Reverend Anthony Everett, Dr. Nadia Rashid, and Rabbi Moshe Smolkin. I've heard in years past, and when I think about it, I don't think I've heard of such stories in recent years, but I've heard stories of, during the Christmas season, Jewish nurses or Jewish doctors or Islamic professionals covering for their Christian colleagues, or Christians coming in and covering for their Jewish colleagues in the hospitals or in the other professional situations during Passover or Rosh Hashanah. Do we have stuff like that happening in the Lexington, Central Kentucky area?
Well, yes. I was a resident at the University of Kentucky, and then after residency, whenever Christmas and December comes, it is the Jews and the Muslims who take call. And that's important. That's important.
So you go to the emergency room on Christmas Day.
Yes. In the operating room as an anesthesiologist, the surgeons during Christmas, and it's the Jews and the Muslims who are holding the call, so our brothers who are Christian can enjoy Christmas. And then at what's beautiful, when it's our time for our holidays, also they take call, so we're able to be with our family. And this is something that's a beautiful coming together and standing for each other. And I always have December open. I take all the call, and I'm there for everybody.
So does that draw people closer together, for instance, in the medical profession, where that's a very pronounced cooperation?
It's respect. I mean, we as humans, and we as Muslims and Christians and Jews, are showing love and respect to the other. I love you so much that this is your time to be with your family, so I am going to be here for you. And this is the real essence of our religions, of the teachings of God, of the teachings of the Prophet, of the teaching of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So this is very important, and we practice our religions in this way.
What else is going on in terms of a collaboration among the various faiths in our region? I know on a few weeks before Thanksgiving, there was an interfaith celebration of Thanksgiving that was held at the St. Paul's Historic Catholic Church in Lexington, and Dr. Reverend Anthony Everett was the preacher at that service. I happened to be present for that and enjoyed that that sermon very much. Are there other observances of that type going on, things happening related to the winter holidays?
Yeah, there's an event that's taking place, United in Harmony, and I've forgotten the date.
It's on December 19th. I believe that's a Monday, December 19th.
And J.R. Zakowski, he's out of St. Paul Historic Catholic Church in Lexington, has been wonderful at pulling a lot of people together for this event and for other events. I mean, he was the one that organized the United in Thanksgiving. So it's a whole United series that's taking place in Thanksgiving, in Harmony. I think there was a some type of dialogue or something that I had missed, but I think that that took place.
There was one around the observance of 9/11.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So all of those type of things are happening. You have not even more so just the holidays, but you have a lot of interaction. So, for instance, I've had David Worcester at the temple, Temple Adath Israel, over at my church, you know, to pray. I know that I've had others of other denominations come to the church to preach that would, you know, it's not who we expect just as a Methodist Christian, but we bring in others. There's an event around Martin Luther King's birthday at downtown Lexington at the Lexington Hall Center. It is Unity, Make It a Lifestyle, and it's a breakfast honoring the life and death of Martin Luther King.
Any other events you all aware of that we can pass along? If not, if we come up with some things, we'll post this
on
our website.
Well, we do have in Lexington the Christian-Muslim Dialogue, and the Christian-Muslim Dialogue is very active, and it started way before 9/11. We do meet one Saturday, third or fourth Saturday of the month, and you can always go to CMD, for Christian-Muslim Dialogue, lex.org. The next one will be in January, but we did have a very nice interfaith Thanksgiving lunch where we had a good turnout. We have good discussions, and we're also working with our Jewish brothers and sisters to do some programs together, and the future will have a lot more going on.
Let me acknowledge an email from Carrie, who writes, "My husband and children and I participate in culturally Christian traditions. For the last 2 years, we've had a wonderful time participating with our neighbors in their Hanukkah celebrations. So much fun and wonderful to learn and share in other traditions." Thank you, Carrie, for responding to our request for your stories. And as we wrap up this week's Eastern Standard, maybe from each of you, 30 seconds or so, about what would be your dream, your vision for how we could work together across cultural and religious lines during the holiday season. Rabbi.
So as Hanukkah comes up, I think one of the things that's beautiful about the holiday is we start with one candle on the first night, and we add another and another and another. And by the end, the room is filled with light and extends beyond. And I think there's, as a metaphor, there's such importance there in not standing by ourselves, and that sense of joining with other people, with other communities, reaching out during this time, joining together, because when we do so, there's more light in the world.
Nadia.
Yes, I think it's very important to know your neighbor, to know your neighbor, to know that we are all citizens of this great country. We are here because we're proud to be Americans. We love this country. We love our religion, and we're here to help each other and serve others.
And as Christians, just reaching out to others, touching other lives, really, again, going back to the idea of loving kindness, of mercy, and also of advocacy as well.
Thank you to our guests, Reverend Anthony Everett, Dr. Nadia Rashid, and Rabbi Moshe Smolkin. And happy holidays, happy winter season, happy new year to all. Thank you for being part of us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to Noah Day, who produced this week's program. for Eastern Standard. Eastern Standard is a production of WEKU at Eastern Kentucky University. We're always interested in hearing from you. WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. Tune in for the rebroadcast of the show Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. A podcast will be available on the website at weku.fm.